Hey everybody, welcome back to the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. It's been a little while. Life has gotten in the way of us getting together to talk about CFC, but life is not getting in the way now. We've got 2 days, maybe one day, or it's happening today, depending on when you're listening to this, until we finally have CFC playing a game that counts against Gold Star Detroit. On the call with me, I've got Todd and Shabby. Todd, how are things over in Bradley County?
We're holding it down, baby.
And Shabby, how are things up in Hickson?
Living the life. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
God, isn't it? It is beautiful. Wildly, it's mildly offset by the fact that I'm sure I inhaled the equivalent of a tennis ball size amount of pollen today, but
it's yes. Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's spring and the weather's getting nice and football's coming back to Chattanooga this Saturday when we play Detroit. So it's going to be awesome. But we
not
have
that Detroit. Calm down, people.
Yeah, not that Detroit. The other Detroit. I don't even know. The third Detroit.
The new Detroit that's associated with the Andorran team.
Right, yeah. Well, they're not even in Detroit. I don't know. They're in some other town in Metro Detroit. Whatever. Some team coming from Michigan will
be Detroit metro area
playing with CFC on Saturday at 3 p.m. We did have a couple of friendlies. One was behind closed doors, and one was against Huntsville City, where we only had annual pass holders were there. We pulled out a 3-2 victory over Beeman United, and then a 1-3 loss to Huntsville City. I don't know if we need to talk about those. They're friendlies. Huntsville City was impressive. I thought they've got some really good players. I continue to think they're going to be one of the more intriguing organizations to watch this year, to see how they do in MLS Next Pro, to see if they form a fan base, to see if they build any type of community and culture.
Well, I know they're supposed to be Nashville's team. But is there local ownership, or do we know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay. But it's affiliated with Nashville FC. So it's a slightly different model than any other two team, really. I think
peace, Rochester. Fighting Vardys.
Well, right. Rochester was like an independent team and then not affiliated at all with an MLS team. So this is kind of like in between where.
So is this almost like the Major League Baseball model where Nashville is footing the bill for the players?
Yeah, I think so. So it's an intriguing model because it's got to be pretty cost effective for the ownership because Nashville is on the hook for a lot of the players. You market the team. So it's interesting. I think the only other, I mean, there have been a couple of other branded teams like what's the Defiance? Is that the Seattle 2 team?
Yes,
Tacoma
Defiant.
That's kind of, and then of course you had Bethlehem Steel, which was Philly's 2 team. So they weren't marketed. They were branded separately. You've had that before, but this is a little different. And I guess Tacoma is not really in out of
this
market.
This is a true minor league baseball model.
A little bit. Yeah. It feels like,
well, I mean, but does that mean that these players are locked and committed though? Like, is there actually upward movement? And does that mean that they only can move to that team, or like, can they get lent out to others? Like, this is weird.
Yeah, they can. I mean, they are quote unquote, I hate this phraseology, but they are quote unquote owned by Nashville, you know, so they own the contracts. And so they can get loaned out. They could come up to the team. They could drop down. They could drop down players from the main team.
You should look at it just like, I mean, to me, you look at it just like the affiliation with the Lookouts. You got guys that come in, in the middle of the season, leave in the middle of the season, stay for one, you know, the full length of the season. There's probably going to be guys that come down to rehab in off injury, all kinds of things like that.
I think you're so. Right,
it's going to be intriguing.
I think so. And I think that was part of the problem that a lot of people had with the two teams being in USL, because you had, you never knew if you were going to be playing a team of 18 year olds, or if you were going to be playing three or four professionals who dropped down because they needed some playing time. And so you just never knew. So one team, you know, one week, one team in the league gets to play the teenagers, and then the following week, a different team in the league has to play pros. And so that, I don't know how much of that's going to happen, but that's one of the, I think that's one of the issues that people had with two teams in, well, in USL.
Whatever squad that NS, that Huntsville had that day was, as you said, a very high level team. And
it was, yeah.
And beat us 3-1. I said, yeah, you know, if preseason is preseason, you know, there's no reason to get any more hype about a 3-3 draw versus Atlanta United than there is a loss against Huntsville City 3-1. So,
right.
I just don't look into it. You never know what a coach is trying to accomplish on any given preseason day. So I just don't read that much into it.
And I think, you know, now that the game is over, I think Huntsville was a really, really good test for the team. We're not going to see a team that athletic, that fit. I mean, we're not going to see somebody press us for 90 minutes. And so, you know, for the most part, we were able to play out of that. You know, we did turn the ball over and give up a goal, but for the most part, we were able to kind of play around. We were just not able to ever get really going past, you know, past midfield. We just could not really get the ball into our offense.
But this goes back to, our club's identity under Rod. It's like, it doesn't matter who we're playing. It can be Atlanta United. It can be, a local group of high schoolers down the street. Like, we're not going to, I mean, we're going to, our identity is what it is. We're going to play out of the back.
Yeah. But it was a fun game. You know, it was a small crowd because it was only annual pass holders, but there were, I don't know, 300 or 400 people there.
It was very cold, correct?
It was cold. It was chilly. I did buy a pair of CFC gloves. Shout out to the merch booth, because I was not, my hands were not ready for that. So, and if you ever want a pair of gloves that really, really do work with your phone, the CFC gloves are your glove of choice, because I've bought many a glove that say they work with my phone and they really don't, but those gloves did. So, That's we're not sponsored by the merch booth. David, if you'd like to sponsor us, you know, we'll certainly take your money.
Because he certainly takes ours.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he does. So yeah, enough about that. We did have, I don't know, Shabby Todd, remind me, I looked through the players. I think we've talked with about everybody. I don't remember. Had we covered Mumu's commit, signing already?
I literally cannot.
I don't think so.
Matai Mwape. So yeah, he's
I mean, we watched him play and we didn't, I don't know.
I don't remember either.
Maybe I just made assumptions that we had already signed him because he seemed to be in the starting 11 like all the time. So,
yeah, I don't remember, but he comes to us from Tormenta, USL League One team, the champion of last year, from USL League One. Plays in the midfield, also plays out wide, kind of cuts in, and so he's a right winger or one of the 8-10 midfielders. We've seen him in both places, and I do not know really kind of where he's going to end up, where if he's going to be out wide as a forward or if he's going to be in the midfield. So we'll see. So he comes to it. He came to us from Tormenta. The other two. And now I've just completely lost my, where is it? Juan Luis. Where did he come to us from? Does anybody remember?
I'm sure I can backtrack live.
So he's a Haitian. He's a Haitian.
The Haitian Prince. He came to us from up north.
Syracuse.
Yes. Pulse.
That's right.
Was it Pulse or was it Rochester? Which one?
Syracuse.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think if I remember correctly,
do we have to refer to him as Juan Luis? Like, can we just call him the like Prince, maybe?
Prince?
Well, I guess maybe I'm confused. Prince. We've got two Haitians on the team now, because there's also Jean-Antoine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well.
So it wouldn't be very nice to call one of them the Haitian Prince and not the other.
Well, that's actually one of them's nickname.
Well, okay, I don't know. I'm just going to call him Juan Louis, unless he tells me that I can call him something different. But yeah, so he played at Syracuse Pulse, and if I remember correctly, he had like 7 or 8 goal contributions. I know he had 6 goals and 2 or 3 assists from the midfield. And let me tell you, I like that. I guess he was a winger. So maybe he was a winger. But anyway, I like goals. I like goals. So
I'll take 6 more goals. Yeah. Yes,
goals are good. And then I don't know if this was out of nowhere, but a player that I think a lot of us wanted to be at CFC last year, after Stumptown RIP went under, and the player ended up going to Cal United. I think a lot of us would have liked to have seen him on at Chattanooga then. Now he's here. Luis Garcia Sosa. That is, when that announcement came out, I was like, yeah, this is a big one. This is, could be the missing piece for our midfield going forward. Mm. I don't know if either of you have any thoughts.
Sorry, I was just doing a little investigation on Juan Louis. He is from Drake University by way of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. So there you go.
Yeah, he's a Chelsea fan, though, so we won't talk to him about that.
I'm glad you said about that. Just, we won't talk to him.
No, but back to your question about...
Jim won't talk to the rest of us. We're all reasonable.
There you go.
Reasonable right. Adults. We don't really care who you support. We will actually have a conversation with you. Jim's unreasonable. Yes. I'm sorry.
But now let's go back to LGS. Let's go
now
back
to...
No,
we talk about Sosa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's good to have some center mid strength. I don't remember seeing Sosa play last year, though. Like, at least I didn't pay attention.
Did he play? Are you asking, did he play?
Well, I mean, he played. He was with Cal United last year, and I just don't remember.
Yeah, he was in and out of the team injured. And I think.
Okay, and, that's why.
Yeah, and he played a lot in, what was the player? Tony. I can't remember his last name. I'm drawing a blank. But that a player that was really good for Cal United early on in the midfield, scored a lot of their goals. He got hurt, and then I guess Sosa came in later in the year and started taking over that kind of number 10 role and played okay. I didn't watch them that much, but I think from what I've heard, he played well near the end of the season. But he was not a starter the full season because he was in and out of the team with some injuries.
Well, the good news though is that having played for coach back at Stumptown, he knows Rod's coaching style. He's going to fit in. He knows what's expected. Like, I imagine this is going to be a good transition for him.
Well, for all the players that have came back and played under Rod, they've seemed to have flourished. You know, where they're talking about, you know, Kev from last year, you know, coming in and doing a stand-up job in goal, or, you know, any of the other players that previous histories with Rod. He knows who he's bringing in, and he knows their team guys. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do out in the midfield. I mean, any depth in midfield you can get, I think is a good move.
So this question is going to be answered a little bit later when we talk about maybe our lineup projections. But do you think he slots right in? I mean, I think that's the question. Does he slot right in as the midfielder, along with Alex McGrath there as kind of the 2 8s or 2 10s? I think that's the question. He arrived in town, I believe, right before or during the Huntsville match. He was actually on the field for
I'm just not familiar enough with his style of play to know like how he and McGrath can complement each other in terms of like, you know, who's going to be the more forward minded and more defensive. I just don't know. I don't know enough about him. That'll be an interesting thing, you know, once we see the starting lineup, how they roll out and how they position themselves, if he indeed is a starter, and see how he positions himself and carries himself out on the field.
Yeah, I see him as a little bit more of a connector, which may be why he might be a nice replacement for Cerro. You know, not somebody who's going to score 10 goals, you know, but somebody who's going to assist on a couple. And then, you know, if you ever did XG chain, which is, you know, if you ever did how important is the person in the buildup? I think Sosa is going to be a pretty important person in the buildup. So he might not be as offensive as McGrath, but in terms of like direct goal output, but somebody who's going to really tie the team together.
Right.
Yeah. So he played the 10 though for Cal.
The one absolute thing that we do need though is somebody that's capable of unlocking, you know, a defense with like one critical pass and can, you know, when you have some of the ways it's been successful against us, you know, we've had a hard time breaking down low block defenses, and you know, we just passed around the perimeter in the old horseshoe, as we've called it. And you know, being able to move people, move the defense with a pass or with your off the ball movement is like such a critical thing. And I hope that we have solved that this offseason. I mean, I know we'll just have to wait and see what the end product is, but that was one of the things that, you know, we desperately needed to work on, because Michigan's going to be Michigan and they're going to be there probably at the end of the year. And our teams like that. And we got to figure out a way to get around those guys or through them.
Well, with Beto, Juan Luis, Sosa, you know, Mumu, you know, add in Alex McGrath and Ali James. I mean, you've got depth there in the midfield, and you've got some creative depth. So we are deeper there than I think we have ever been, at least on paper. And it'll be interesting to see what it turns into.
Yeah.
But on paper, we are as deep as we have ever been, probably deeper than we've ever been. So it'd be interesting to see. I think coach has got some choices to make. in that,
sound like positive choices.
Well, yeah. And I think it gives us options too. If he's thinking about changing up the style of play, mm-hmm. how we stack them, I think it's going to look different.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you can change your style of play either by, you know, a function of your formation or just by player change in the player formation. So
there's only one thing I wish we had done and we haven't done, I don't think we're going to do. And that is I wish we had a little more depth at the number 9 position, but we can get there. We can talk about that as the season goes on. We do have one more little bit of interesting news that came out just a couple of days ago. The kid is going to be hanging around Chattanooga for a couple more years. Damian's contract extension. Todd, what do you make of that contract extension? Is that a Damian, we want you to be here for 2 or 3 more years? Or is it Damian, we see good things for you, and when you move on to your next club, we would like for that club to pay us?
You know, here's the thing with that. I think yes to both is what I think. I think he is still – so remember, like this year, he should be a junior in college, right?
Yep.
Like that's the way we kind of should be looking at this. Mm-hmm. And he's been playing at the professional level for 2 years now. So physically, he's been given 2 years to adapt to a higher level, to play against bigger, stronger, faster players, speed of game, all that kind of stuff. And the rigors of the day in, day out process and of a long professional season. So I think I said last year I was looking for a breakout year for him. And I think that was a bit naive on my part, given, you know, coaching change and other things. So this year I think is a critical year though, in terms of his development. Like, is he going to spring up into the upper echelon of NISA players, or is he going to be a dependable day in, day out player at this level. And nothing is wrong with either of those. It's just he's at that stage of development where he's going to either become one or the other. And if he does become the other and an attempt to and he shows flashes of what he showed against Atlanta United, then yeah, I think Chattanooga would be silly not to extend that contract for a couple of years and make sure you get, you know, my number one rule is don't let a guy leave for free. Like, don't make that yeah. mistake. So yeah. especially on a young player that's talented as he is. So it's interesting. But for me personally, I'm just excited. We could see him another year. He's an exciting player. So we know what he brings to the table. That change of pace, he's so good on the ball. You don't worry about him just coughing up a ball that's played to him hard at midfield, you know, and the player's on his back. So those kind of guys, they don't come around every day. So I'm glad he's with us.
Shabby, you have any thoughts on the kid?
No, I mean, I think they're fun to watch, both him and his younger brother. And I love waiting to see what's going to happen next for them both, because I think one way or another, there's good news on the horizon.
Yep. All right. The other bit of news we got was, I guess, bittersweet maybe. We got news. I think a lot of us suspected this or kind of, I don't think the news came as a surprise that Juan Hernandez will be joining or kind of continuing to be with the club, but in a completely different role, not on the field, as a performance coach and doing some other stuff with the club. In a nice gesture, the number 10 jersey will not be worn by the men's team this year. But interestingly, there will be a number 10 on the women's team. And so Summer will be wearing the 10 jersey for the women.
I love that so much. I think that is the sweetest tribute. They're kind of like the royal couple of Chattanooga Football Club, right? Like, you know, him and his wife and you know, having her come back to the team and being a part of the women's club. And now that she's going to be wearing number 10 in his honor. Like, there's so much about that is just
beautiful.
And it'll
say Hernandez on the back of the jersey.
I know. We have come full circle. I love it.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Did you see that? You know, they've been doing the countdown, you know, like the countdown to days. Did you see the 10 days to where they both were there holding the substitution sign? I guess that was on the walking bridge.
It wasn't from the Walnut Street Bridge.
Yeah. So, I mean, how could that not make you smile in, you know, realizing that, you know, that this is kind of the last player, I won't say the last tie-in because he's still with the club, but you know, he is kind of the tie-in between CFC, the amateur team, and CFC, the professional team. He has so much history with the club. I was upset, or upset may be strong. Like I said, it was bittersweet to see kind of a player that you've watched for a while move on. But I'm glad he's still here, standing here with the team. I don't know if you guys, what would you say was your, I should have prompted you because this is going to be unfair for me because I've thought about this a little bit. A favorite moment, a favorite Juan moment that you could think of?
You know, honestly, my favorite Juan moments are off the field.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, not that he's not been a joy to watch for the last how many years, but I think just what he's brought to the team and as a leader and showing up off the field and just the passion he has for the sport, for the city, and for the kids. Like, I'm so glad he's still going to be with us and still working with the academy because he was just born for that. Like, it's just beautiful to watch him with the kids, honestly.
You know, for me, it's not so much about a favorite moment. I mean, he's had a lot of, I mean, the free kick, right, against, I believe that was against Georgia Revolution. I mean, that was a beautiful moment. You know, his part in the goal, for Zhao versus Batiste. But for me, it was one of the, it may have been the first time I saw him take the field, for Chattanooga FC. And, I remember he came on the field and he had those, you know, flowing blonde locks, and, but it wasn't that. It was the just insane energy level that, that he came out with and just terrorized. He came in as a sub, I believe, in the first game I saw him, and just mm-hmm. absolutely terrorized whatever team we were playing, who had already been just like, you know, through 70, 75 minutes of the game. And he comes out on the field and just his energy level in midfield was just outrageous. And then when he converted over to a starter, seeing that same energy level and to the point where, you know, he couldn't play, you know, a full match a lot of times because the energy and the exertion and the tempo that he brought, it, like he didn't pace himself, right? Like that was who he was. And when he was done at 75 minutes or 80 minutes, he was done. It was all left out on the field each and every mm-hmm. time. And that to me yep. was the hallmark of a Juan performance, right? Is that there was no question, like when he walked off the field, you felt compelled to applaud him because you knew that he had left absolutely everything, every ounce of energy on that field and literally could not go on another moment. And so for mm-hmm. me, that will always be what is the memory I carry with me about Juan.
Yeah, the first time I saw him was in some type of tryout. I don't know if it was I think it was during open trials, but I do not believe he was there as a part of the I believe he was I know he came the story was that he came to visit a friend and kind of got connected to the club and then started playing. I can't remember if it was open, some type of tryout. I remember seeing him on the field and I was like, who is that? Because it was just obvious in terms of the players that he was around that he was the best player that was playing, in that short-sighted game or whatever it was. And then, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks later, maybe a month later, sitting in the game with Heather and it may be Todd. It's maybe because what I remember him, the first game was as a sub. So I don't know if you're remembering his first game. I'm remembering his first time on the field as a sub as well. I don't know if I'm remembering that correctly, but I remember tapping Heather and telling the people around me, like, "Hey, see that blonde guy? That's the guy I was telling you about from the tryouts. That's the guy that was like head and shoulders above anybody else on the field." And that was my moment when I thought I could be a scout, you know, like,
because you picked Juan Hernandez out of a group of,
you were like, you got this one.
Of like regulars. Good for exactly. you, buddy.
Right. Yeah. I could pick Juan out of a bunch of randoms that just showed up on a Saturday morning.
Well done, sir.
I was like, yeah, I picked him out, you know, yeah.
But, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because I remember when he came out too. And at that time, I think I was sitting down in maybe 103. I think I was sitting in 103 and there was a group of people that sat there consistently and none of us really knew each other outside of like game attendance. Right. So, but it was crazy. We were all like, who is this guy? Right. And like, everybody was just like, and comments were being made about how he was like everywhere at once. He would blink and he was on, you know, on the other side of the field. And it's funny. I remember some of the same reactions.
Yeah. It was the hair, the smile, the energy, all of those mm-hmm. things are going to be missed around. I mean, again, he's going to be around the club and he's going to be there to make sure that new players that come in, along with some of our other, you know, our other players who've been with us for a couple of years, to kind of let them know what the club means and kind of share a little bit of the culture.
And we've known for a while his trajectory has been towards coaching, whether it was with the academy or, you know, it was announced that he had gotten his B license and he's right. going mm-hmm. for his A license is my understanding. You know, and I think when Rich decides to hang him up, I think he's headed in that same direction. So to be able to have Juan as an icon of the club, and like you said, a touchstone back to the amateur days, to still be involved and to be able to tell those stories and the history of the club to newcomers And I'm sure there, you just got to imagine there is a time where these new guys that's came in, it's like, now it's time for story time with Juan. And Juan comes in and, like, you know, kind of tells a oral history of the club and his time with the club, and explain to these players, like, what it means. These guys that have been at Cal United, the guys that were at Stumptown, the guys that have came in from different parts of the country, right, who've heard of Chattanooga FC, who've known of our history, and now to have it kind of being told to them by someone that lived it and what that means, and to be able to pass that on, I think it's just a huge, huge asset to have.
Well, I hope, you know, you've got to think that there's going to be some type of opportunity for him to get back on the field, whether it's a friendly at some point in the year, to have kind of that testimonial match, so the fans can kind of give him our thanks for the 7 or 8 years he's been. I think it's set. Is it 7 years? 7 years? I should know that. That he's been with the club. It was when Zeca kind of hung him up. You know, that was we'll get that storybook ending. We almost got the storybook ending with Zeca where he hit the crossbar.
I was ready to run out on the field. I was so ready to run out on the field.
So maybe we'll get that storybook moment with Juan in his final match. We don't know when that's going to be. I'm sure it's going to be this summer, but at some point. But we do have a match coming up this Saturday, or the I believe we're going to see some familiar faces on the other side. We've got I can think of two players.
Big Red.
Reddington and Roddy.
And, you know, I'm so happy for Roddy to be able to go back, home and be able to continue his playing career close to home and his family. I think that's just
absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great thing. I mean, we came as Chattanooga FC fans to be really fond of his family. Who would make the trek down. So I wish him all the best, and I hope he doesn't score Saturday.
I hope their parents are in attendance, because they're some wonderful people, and we'd love to see them and say hi again at CBC after the game. Okay, now's the time, guys. I warned you about this when we started recording. Yeah, you're starting 11 for the first match of the season. And anybody want to go first?
How about you go first?
I'm going to go. You want to go first?
Yeah, you go first. Because
you've thought about this more than we have.
All right. So with zero foreknowledge, I have no idea what I'm talking about. But people who've listened to this know.
I don't think there's any need to preface with that.
Well, let's make it easy, right? Let's take it kind of like main roles. Like, okay, who do we think is going to start in goal? I think it's Antoine.
So that's all right. So now the center backs. I think the center backs are easy.
Purpleita.
Yeah, Purpleita and Bowers. Okay, right. All right. So now the outside backs.
So because he's been there the whole time.
Okay. Yeah, I've got at the right back.
And then I'm trying to think who we've seen at left.
It's really been Perez.
That's what I was going to say.
Perez is always seen, but are we going to keep that there? That's the question.
I think Perez is our left back. I do have some questions about right back, but I don't have a question about left back.
Let's see here.
So we got Antoine, Toli, Bowers, Perez. I think who's at the six? I think we all have
Dixon
at the six, right?
Dixon. Okay. Yeah.
And now the biggest question is, I think you got McGrath in the midfield, and then now I go back to the question I asked when we talked about him: does Sosa slot in? Does Mumu play there, or does Mumu play further forward, or does Beto? Play there, because Beto's been playing Alvarenga.
Where does Stripling fit into this?
So I forgot completely about this, and I was reminded by several people at the social hour. Stripling is suspended.
Oh, for the first game. That's
yeah.
Well done. Well,
I forgot.
Yes, so Stripling does not fit into this.
Yeah,
well, thank goodness we can have this conversation the second game.
That's right. Yeah, I completely forgot about his red card in the semifinal. So yeah, he's suspended. So we don't have to worry about, you know, where does Stripling go? Because I think you're right. I think Stripling could be at right back if maybe. Who knows?
I mean, to be fair, Stripling can fit in pretty much anywhere across the back, and even up into midfield, obviously.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're playing like a double pivot.
Yeah, such a versatile player. I mean, yeah. Such a luxury to have.
Okay, stop stalling. Stop stalling, Todd. You've got Rich and McGrath. Who is your third midfielder? Does Sosa slot in? Do you put Beto there because he's played there a little bit? Do you put Mumu there? He's played there a little bit. Is there another player?
I'm gonna spring forward and I'm gonna put Sosa there.
Okay, so Sosa slots right in.
Yep. I don't think we brought him in from Cal United to be a non.
Just sit on the bench. Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah.
Even though he's, this is just devil's advocate because I think you're right. Even though he's only been here for like a week or 2 weeks, I guess.
I have no idea what the practices have been like. If things have gone optimally, then yes. If he's game fit.
Yeah.
If he's not game fit, then no. But I mean, we don't have like daily press releases on fitness of players, so.
Well, you know, maybe he comes in for 60 minutes and then somebody comes in for the final 30.
And
you
then Mwape.
Yeah, either Mwape or Beto.
I'd like to see a little more Beto, actually.
And then, again, up top, I think we all have Taylor, right, on the left.
Mm-hmm. That's not the question. Taylor's not the question.
Well, Marcus, you think Marcus will start up top?
Stop it.
No, we're not going to play Nagelstad. He's just not going to play it all this season.
That's right.
No.
We're coming out. Mumu's going to play a false nine. that's what I'm predicting right now.
I think we're absolutely right.
This is what's going to happen. Nobody's going to see this coming. Prepelica is going to play the nine, the target nine. We're going to completely change the way we play. He's going to be our Andy Carroll, and hopefully with more goals than Andy. So no, I think you're right. I think Nagelstad. So that leaves one position, right wing.
Yeah, and we've seen that occupied by several different players. And I don't know if coach is really settled on somebody. And I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I would like to say if Damian is healthy, because he was nursing an injury for the Huntsville game and an injury that is a little tricky in terms of, coming back or not. So if he's healthy and he's fit, I would put Damian up there just because of what we've seen. But I would not be surprised. Mm-hmm. If Mumu's up there,
well,
that's kind of how I feel about it too.
And I also wonder too if he's thinking about, do I want to save?
Either way,
what's the thought about going into the Open Cup match on the 4th?
So here's my thing. Either way, the idea of either bringing in the kid or bringing in Mumu in the 75th minute to run at defenders, is a positive, right? I feel solid about that. So
absolutely,
I would just leave it at wherever, I don't have like a day in, day out.
So you're non-committal. So. You're being non-committal on the right wing.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with Mumu on the right. He's early last year as well as some already this year. Like we haven't seen Damian starting. So, but he may.
All right, so Shabby, you got where are you? Are you going to commit on the right, or are you going to waffle?
No, I want to see Damian.
You want to see Damian. So I like to see Damian out there too. Although Todd, you're right. The idea of Mumu starting and then Damian coming on in like the 75th minute to run at some outside backs, some tired outside backs is, and they're two players, right? They've got because I think Mumu's left-footed, so he's going to be somebody who's going to cut in, and Damian's going to go to the byline and cross. So you've got two different kinds of players there. I don't know. I have Damian down in my 11, but I don't know. Maybe Mumu starts.
I'll tell you a player that I'm interested to see how he develops this year is Jaimez. I'm really interested to see how he develops this year. I think he showed some really good stuff. I don't see like physically how he holds up, but I'm really curious to see like what kind of role he plays.
Me too.
And we've seen him start before.
Yeah, we have, but he hasn't been a week in, week out starter for us. He mostly came on in a substitution role, but you know we brought him back this year, so that I don't know if he has a bigger role planned or if coach has seen growth or foresees growth. I mean, this is just a second year pro, so real interesting to see how he works out this year.
Yeah, I just worry that he may be a victim of a really really deep midfield.
Oh, I think that that's a potential. So any sort of versatility or flexibility that he can show to move in and out in different positions in the midfield, or dare I say, move to a right or left back position in you know critical moments, may all help with his playing time.
So, well, one more thing I want to ask you guys about, because like I said early on, the one thing that I wish we had was a backup, a plan B. As the number nine, we did see a plan B at the number nine near the end of the Huntsville game. And that's when Fabian came on, I believe. I can't remember. Did he come in the midfield and someone else go up to left wing, or did Fabian go to left wing? I don't remember, but Taylor went to the middle. And so Taylor Gray as our second choice nine, what do you guys think about that?
I didn't see the match, so I don't have a clue.
To me, I don't really have to see the match to know that that's not a position that suits his game, in my opinion. Like, yeah. I don't see him as a really back-to-goal kind of guy or a hold-up play kind of guy. At least he hasn't shown that part of his game yet, if he has it. So I don't know. I think it is a plan B. And I really hope we can add some depth at some point to that position, because I'm not sure that that's a if Nags goes down for any kind of length of time, like that doesn't seem like a good backup plan.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
I don't want to say good. It makes me concerned because I have not seen that.
We've just not seen it.
But here's the thing. He never ceases to surprise and delight. And he's got that kind of chaotic energy when he plays.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Chaotic energy does. It does transfer well.
He does.
It really does.
I would not be opposed to, you know, let's say we're up in a game and there's like 30 minutes left. For coach to sub out Naglasad and move him to the center and see what he can do.
You know what? To that, Jim, I think you make a great point, right? There probably needs to be some times this year that when we are in positions, we're up two goals with 20 minutes left, 25 minutes left, or something like that. We need to get Nags out of there. He's what, 33 this year? 32.
We need to get we need to sneak him some. I don't know how old he's 30.
I think he's 31. He's somewhere between 31 and 33. Anyway, like, we need to get him some rest, because if he's our guy, we need to be resting him whenever we can. It's a long season, and so I think that's a, and plus we need to make sure that our plan B is a solid plan B and not just like a hit and hope.
Right. So he was born in 91. So what, he'll in April. So he'll be 32.
He'll be turning 32 next month. Yeah.
32. Yep.
Yeah, so, I was just looking it up myself because I was like, really? Is he that old?
Yeah, but, we need to sneak him some time, get him some minutes on the, you know, save him some minutes in when we can and kind of manage him. And I also don't think we can't count on him scoring 20 plus goals. we're going to need some. I mean, he might be able to, but I think we're going to need some goals from the wingers and some from the midfield. So expectations for the season. What are you? Let's talk a little bit about that. So last year, we all agreed that a home playoff match was kind of the standard. Like if we got a home playoff match, we would consider to be that a decent season. We got that home playoff match. After it was over, we probably didn't feel that that was the standard, but we got the home playoff match for this season. What are y'all's expectations?
I expect a championship game. I don't want just a home playoff game. I want the final, and I would rather win it all, but I, you know, any given match, anything can happen.
Todd?
I'm right there. A final appearance at home. I mean, that's where we're at now. We've seen other teams be put on hiatus. We've seen clubs come in that are going to be newly formed clubs. You look at the talent we've assembled here. You look at just the whole picture. Anything less than making it to, I'll say this. Once you make it to the semifinal, anything can happen. But a semifinal appearance is my expectation.
Agreed.
All right. So we have, I don't know, we're expecting a bunch of women's team announcements soon.
I don't think you made an expectation.
I'm sorry.
We want to hear what you think, sir.
Yeah. Way to just dip right out of that.
I think, hosting the final. I think that's it. We need to host the final. We need to be in the final. We need to host it. I do think we're going to easily be, I can't imagine us being lower than the number two team in the league, at least based on the season. So I think I think hosting a semi is kind of I think it needs to be a given. And then, for it to be a really good season, we need to get past that and host the final. And then, you know, we'll have to pay whatever penance to the soccer gods we can and hope that the ball bounces our way in a one-off final and we hoist a cup. So that, yeah, there. So is that good?
Yeah, it's better. Okay. Now on to women's news.
On to the women's team. On to the women's team. We don't really have a lot of formal news. There's some smoke about some player announcements, so we'll just have to wait until those are final. We did get the schedule and Did y'all notice that we have some double headers?
Yep.
We did.
I like double headers though, and I think the stadium is prepared this time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Finley has heard us. They've learned from last year. The front office heard us and learned from last year, and I am very optimistic. I think this is going to be some fun weekends of soccer ahead of us this summer.
But are we ready for doubleheaders?
Yes. Yes. I mean my liver failed years ago anyway.
It's going to be an all-day, an all-evening extravaganza. I'm excited about it. Like I said, on the announcement day, they're great. You just got to fix the no reentry policy. But for these families, you've got to let them back out. Like, I mean, kids, like all kinds of stuff comes up. And the idea of like, once you go in, you're locked in. Like, that's not cool.
Well, no, I mean, you can leave.
You just can't come back.
You just can't come back. Yeah.
You can check out anytime you like.
But you can't come back in. I don't think that's the lyric, but.
No, it's not Hotel California rules.
No. But we do have some good road trips. I'm looking forward to catching the women's team on the road. NISA neutral NISA news.
Ah, yes. In today's neutral NISA news, we've heard there's a new expansion.
We have expansion out of nowhere. Irvine Zeta FC. What the hell?
Well, so here's my thing, though. They're going to talk about Irvine Zeta, but no one's talking about Calabasas. That's been that icon has been sitting there for years, and we don't know anything about them either.
They're replacing the Oaks, right? The Thousand Oaks that turned into Calabasas. They do have,
and so we have nobody playing and no team and no schedule. So
Twin Oaks.
Yeah, I think they would have been a better name.
Twin Oaks. So Calabasas, who knows what the hell it is? Who knows if they ever kick a ball? I mean, it's NISA. Who knows? They're going to be on the website for the next decade, we don't know if they'll ever play. So now we have this Irvine Zeta. Now, I don't know if you guys saw the announcement, but in the announcement, the league wrote it was the first professional soccer club in Irvine. Okay, so what I love about this, first and foremost, is that there's a, because they're playing in Championship Stadium, right? And so what I love about this is, like, not only is there another professional team in Irvine called Orange County.
No. I think you missed the verbiage. It's the first Chinese-owned
They fixed club. The first post said the first professional soccer club in Irvine, and they go by they call themselves, quote, the real Irviners, which I don't know if that's a thing or not. But so the thing I love most about them, about the league, not the club, the league saying that they're the first professional soccer club in Irvine. We just had Cal United playing in that same stadium.
I know that is really the punchline of the joke.
I mean, what? I don't even know. So yeah, Irvine Zeta FC, Chinese owned. I don't know if that's good or bad or indifferent. I don't even know.
Like, I don't know what that. Okay.
They have that. If you go on their website, they have this store.
First ever professional soccer club representing the city.
Yeah. Right. Representing the city, which, no, I mean, you had Cal United.
Well, no, but here's the thing though. They're actually saying and claiming Irvine rather than trying to be
Okay. You know, that is some Aurora crap.
This is just NISA being NISA.
Aurora said that they were the first women's grassroots team in Minnesota. We were like, no, there's a whole bunch of other teams there. That's NISA being NISA. NISA being lazy and not reading their own copy. I mean, So anyway, maybe they'll exist. Maybe they won't exist. Maybe they'll never play. Who knows? They're the real Irviners, which, whatever the hell that means. it's just wonderfully absurd. It's like sometimes I feel like we're living in some type of performance art, Dada soccer, U.S. soccer thing. Right. Do you feel, I mean, it's like if a Salvador Dali painting could be a soccer league. Bless our hearts for putting up with this stuff.
All right, that's why it's nice and neutral news. We're not supposed to go down to these dark places. Let's bail out. Let's get out while we can.
Okay. All right. Well, we've gone through a lot. Men's team, women's team, NISA, the first professional club in Irvine, California. Anything else that either of you guys want to talk about? I feel like we're forgetting something. I feel like I just remembered something and now
slipped your mind again.
Yeah. I should have typed it down when I thought of it. But anything else that you guys could think about? Oh, well, there's a couple of I know what I was going to say. Hey. Did you guys see the new food options?
Yes. At the stadium. What are your thoughts?
Yes. Okay. So that was the one thing I didn't know if we were going to talk about it or not, because now it's kind of old news because it already happened in the last match. But, you know, going cashless, like the walk-in beer lines, like the self-service line thing, these are good things. And more options is always a good thing. I'm glad the stadium is trying to improve the game day experience in every possible way.
So let's go over the new eats, right? So we got Reggie's Barbecue and Nachos. Sounds like a winner to me. Yes. Street Quesadilla, which is a food truck. And it says Street Taco Cart, and they do catering as well. We have the Fort Finley Market. We have the Max Grill Works. Chestnut Bakes, which is pretzels, pizza, and popcorn. Windy City Eats, Miller's Original Lemonade, which is a all-time favorite for my wife. And then the Kettle Corn Man, and it looks like donuts as well. So
yeah, I mean,
it looks there's like only... if you go on the map there, you can see where everything's going to be as well.
Yeah, I'm really excited. There's only one thing missing, and
Manganata.
They're not coming back. So, Todd, I think you and I are going to just have to open up the 423 mango stand. And
dude, we would kill it.
And, I mean,
Heart Tacos isn't coming back anymore.
Nope. And I miss because those tacos. Man, yeah, we'll have to try out the new truck because those street tacos at the I Heart Taco truck were the real thing.
So apparently, Street Quesadilla is going to be taking the place because it is a food truck. So I'm guessing that's going to be coming down to the end. So
I like it.
Yeah, you know what? Their phone number's posted on here, so I'm just going to go ahead and hit them up. And I'm just going to
bring Manganatas.
Do you guys have Manganatas? If they say no, my next question is, can you?
Can you get Manganatas?
You don't need to have a lot. Just have four prepped for
right. You just need four. We just need four.
Names on. Everybody fine. Else That's can just like eat their heart out with envy. I don't even care.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, Todd, if that doesn't work out, you know, we can, you and I can open up the mango stand.
I love the fact that this year going in, we know the food options game in and game out, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to think like, oh, yeah. You know, is so-and-so going to be? No, this is it. This is what's going to happen. So I appreciate that, the consistency this year. I look forward to seeing the other amenities and how those play out. And overall, I'm just excited to get the year started.
Yep. I'm going to miss that Chicago beef sandwich, though, if they don't have that. That was pretty darn good. Have to admit, but we'll try out some other things. I'm looking forward to a good pretzel and the barbecue and nachos sounds, I'm going to be trying that out on Saturday at 3:00. Cause that's when the match is 3:00 early. The weather is supposed to be good. It's supposed to be stormy very early in the morning, but it's supposed to be really nice, around game time. So we need to see everyone out. Saw Sam last night at the social hour, and you know the everything looks good. All of the metrics are looking good for a good Saturday. So if you've got some friends who've never been, bring them out and show them what CFC is all about. Hey, one last thing. You know how I like to end the shows these past couple of times and what's making us smile this week. So Todd, what's making you smile this week?
God, you know what? It's a good week because like so much is making, if you'll just indulge me a moment.
We will.
It is, it's peak soccer season down here, high school season in North Georgia and in the soccer city. And man, I've had the privilege of getting to pay a lot of attention to the high school soccer season. And there's a lot of storylines down here, and just getting to be a part of that and a part of the community, and to interact in kids' lives and to see them interact back has just added so much to my life. I can't even tell you like how fulfilling that's been in my life. And tomorrow night is kind of the culmination of the regular season. We have El Clasico, which is going to be Southeast Whitfield hosting Dalton High. And I had the privilege of giving out the Soccer City Girls Cup to the Northwest Whitfield Lady Bruins on Tuesday night. And it was just a really awesome experience to be able to go down in the field and hand out that trophy to them.
Sweet.
And I'm looking forward to doing it tomorrow night. I get to hand out the trophy, win, lose, or draw. To Dalton High, who has clinched the trophy already, but they're ending in the absolute King of Kings rivalry match against Southeast Whitfield. So if you're not doing anything, shoot, man, you would do that. I'm not picking, and that's the point.
We need pictures.
Pictures. So, and to be fair, that's the point I've gotten down here is that I can't even pick between the teams because they each hold like kind of a special place to me, you know, and I just can't pick anymore. So.
Well, again, pictures for the, you know, we need pictures for the socials. So, yeah.
We'll do it.
Awesome.
Yay.
And at some point, I don't know, you have a, do you have one co-host? How many people are on the show? On the
So this year it's just been me and my co-host, Juan Azua. Roy Alvaron helped us out last year, and I think he's going to come back next year. But this year it's just been Juan and myself.
Yeah, we need to get Juan on here. We need to have the two of you talk about the show at some point.
Absolutely.
I think that'd be really cool. Shabby, what's making you smile this week?
There's been quite a few things. It's been such a lovely week from a social aspect, like old friends crawling out of the woodworks and wanting to meet up and have dinner or play games. Like, I've had a chance to meet up with people almost every day, and I'm not used to that. But it's been beautiful and lovely. I am really excited about next week being spring break for Chattanooga, Hamilton County Schools, and several of the private schools as well. So we've all got big vacation plans and we're excited about that. And, you know, lots of late breaking headline news has had a lot of sadness earlier in the week. And I think things are looking up.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we probably should, mention that to all of our friends in the Nashville area. My heart, and I think I'll speak for everybody, our hearts go out to the victims and to those who are impacted by some more needless gun violence. I know too well what that can do to a community. I hate to hear it. And it's unfortunately become an all too often news story in our country. My heart goes out to everyone impacted by the shooting in Nashville. So what's making me smile this week, though, is, baseball season started today. So I'm a big, I love baseball. I don't really have a team that I follow that closely. I guess it would be Atlanta if I had to pick. I just like to watch the games. So I'm excited about that. We found out that at some point this summer, Luna is going to have a sister. So we're going to have another pup at some point this summer. Yay. So another Labradoodle, will enter the fray. So yeah, it's been a good week outside of, like Shabby said, some of the local news. Y'all, it's been a great, it was like 3 weeks since we recorded. So it was great to get back and sit and talk a little CFC. I cannot believe that in just the day after tomorrow, we're going to be sitting in the stands and the guys are going to lace them up for real. And these points are going to count. And hopefully it's the first 3 points of a wonderful season that ends in a trophy. Todd, where can folks find you on the internet if they want to harass you?
Hey, you can find me on Twitter, a lot less lately, at Great Footballer. And I've been more active on Instagram at WDNN Monday Night Football, where we cover all high school soccer in the Dalton, Whitfield, Murray area in Georgia. And then, of course, you can find us on Facebook as well.
Awesome. Shabby, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter at Shabby Bell, SHABYBELLE.
And as Twitter is burning down to the ground, you can still find me there. You can block me, mute me, or whatever, at Chattagooner. Until we see you again, Saturday, 3 p.m., Finley Stadium, Chattanooga FC versus Gold Star Detroit.
So be there or be square.
Until we see you there, go CFC.
Go Blues. Chips. Oh, Mr. Oliveira, what a cheeky goal.